The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 51. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparation for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me," but he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, dear sons and daughters of God, check this out. It's hard to stay focused on the game, but it's kind of fun to do your own thing. So who's having more fun? Do you ever get distracted? Ever lose focus on what the important things are? Do you ever find yourself just kind of in your own little world, doing your own little stuff? It's hard to be focused. It's hard to keep your eye on the ball. I don't know if you've had people help you with projects at home, trying to keep everybody doing the stuff that needs to get done, or maybe working in the kitchen and you realize, look, only one really knows what's going on here. And do I have to do it all myself? I mean, how many ways do we find ourselves just struggling spiritually? It's not easy to be spiritually focused in serving God. And boy, if there is one thing our gospel reading is full of, it's people that are distracted and not understanding what the real important things are, except for one. The Lord. He knows what's going on. It's so interesting to see. But the challenge in your life and my life is we can be distracted in so many different ways, and yet God would have us understand what His will is for us, how we can walk in what He has planned for us, which are by far better things than the things that we want to go off and do on our own. The challenge is it's not easy for us to do that. Think about it this way. The law of our gospel reading is actually in our sermon notes. Everyone in our gospel reading is confused and distracted. I mean, think about it. I mean, you know, Jesus is going about his ministry. He knows what he needs to accomplish for our own good now and forever. And on one side of his disciples, you know, they're a little too religiously zealous. "Lord, you want us to call fire down on these people?" I mean, time out. That's a little over the top, don't you think? A little zeal without any knowledge. And so he has to rebuke them. Still others want to follow on their own terms. And Jesus is frankly pretty stern with them in different ways because they're not keeping their eye on the ball. The good news, and this is the gospel, that despite all the distraction and all the confusion, Jesus stays focused. The gospel in our reading is actually verse 51. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, I mean, he knows what he's about. He knows what he's going to be doing. The days when he was about to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He was stubborn about getting the job done. He was laser-focused, hyper-focused, ensuring that he would accomplish what he came to do. Now, is this like the first time? No. Remember the story when he was 12 years old? His mom and dad went to Jerusalem, you know, to do their religious duty, and somehow Jesus got lost in the way back home, and, you know, 3 days, they lose track of the kid, and they finally find him, and he's at the temple. He's talking with the scholars. The scholars are amazed at what Jesus is talking about with them. And mom and dad says, "Hey, what gives, kid?" And what does Jesus say? I mean, that's a little weird sounding. He didn't talk quite like that. But he still, you know, he said, "Don't you know I'm to be about my Father's business? Like, don't, I mean, remember that's why I'm here? Don't you know?" So it's fascinating to think that all along Jesus is about working out our salvation in every detail. He's going to do it. He is focused. And this is the good news for us, especially when we think about how easily we can be distracted, how many rabbit trails we can wander off on, how we can start majoring in the minors and forgetting what it's all about. How many ways do we as church do that? I mean, we are to baptize and teach. We are to be a robust congregation filled with early childhood education and senior education for our mature adults, and covering all the bases, doing all the things we need to do so people can understand what the will of God is. And yet, how many ways can we be just kind of out in left field? How many ways can counsel just forget what the main thing is? How many ways can the people that we have elected to serve on behalf of our congregation get lost in their own little rabbit trails? How many ways? And yet, who stayed focused and who can help us refocus time and again across the spectrum of our lives? Because really, it's more about your individual walk with the Lord and your individual life than what we are together. Because where you scatter out as God's people, there is plenty of work to do. To lift high the cross, to tell the good news, to let the fruit of the Spirit be manifested in your daily walk, in thought, word, and action. And the good news for us is that that's what it's all about for God. And even if you find yourself a bit distracted and not sure what to do, he'll bring you back into focus and help you understand what's going on. Because Jesus knows what business we're in. And he cares about getting it done. Baptizing and teaching. Just think about it. The rest of Dylan's life, she's going to learn what it means to be born again. She's going to learn what it means to be numbered among the baptized. She's going to learn how complicated it can be to live among a bunch of spiritual siblings in God's family. And yet she'll also understand the joy of having brothers and sisters in Christ and what it means to be precious in God's eyes. And what all that means across all the details. And not only that, but I want us to think a little bit more about some of the things we can get distracted at. Now, look, if you're just living your life serving yourself, repent, believe the gospel, and stop just making it all about you. Amen? You know, live and serve others. Find out how joyful it is to care for the people around you, to be helpful, to pray for them, to encourage them. And if you're just going around poking the bear just to cause trouble, stop that too. Right? Let the Lord heal you and bless you and realize that it's not by might and power, but it's by love and service and kindness and talking about things and working through issues and actually addressing things that you can solve things instead of just keep kicking things down the road wherever and anywhere in your life. Take heart in the gospel because, and why do I say these things a little forthrightly? Because God has better things for you to focus on. He's got all kinds of plans for you. Here's how Paul says it. Let's read it together. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him." So you are God's masterpieces, really. You're his workmanship. He doesn't make junk. I mean, I know it's hard to get this because I look at myself, I think about all my faults and failures. Gosh, talk to my kids. You know, I mean, we've been doing a lot of work outside and dad becomes a slave driver. It's pretty over the top. I had to tell my neighbor yesterday, yeah, I need to get a lot of forgiveness from my kids because I get to be pretty all business. And, you know, he probably hears it because we're neighbors. And it's like, gosh. You know, so we look at ourselves and we can say, man, I feel like I'm just a beat up old Chevy truck. No, you're God's masterpiece, or Ford, whatever, or Chrysler, or, you know, Toyota, or whatever you are. You're more than that. You're God's workmanship. You're God's new creation, and you're precious to him. And he's got plans for you. He's working in the details of your life, especially where it hurts and it doesn't make sense and it just seems like such a waste. Even there, God has written his gospel in your life. You're important to him. And he's got things for you to do in your life that will bless you and bless others. He's prepared them beforehand to walk in, to be a part of. And what's really mind-blowing, and I mean, I know this can be mind-blowing, but what's really mind-blowing is he really has some important things for us to think about and to realize we're a part of. And it's later on here in Ephesians, and I want to read it to you. And I mean, this blows my mind when I read this. To me, though I am very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles. You know, Paul, before he became a Christian, was a hater. And he wanted to just destroy people. He approved the murder of people. He was an angry man. And even after he was saved from all that, he never really forgot it. Now, he knew he was forgiven. He knew he was loved. But he also knew that this was part of his story, part of his life. And he didn't forget about it. He knew, but he still understood that he was numbered among the saints. He still knew that he was holy and forgiven because of what Jesus did. And he knew that he was to be an ambassador of the gospel. But look at what else. The unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, all our lives we're going to keep learning more and more about what it means to be saved by grace, what it means to be the objects of God's love. Look, my prayer today is that somehow something has hit you that hasn't hit you before so that you can say, yeah, Lord, you're awesome. Thank you for blessing my life. I mean, that's my prayer. Because the unsearchable riches of Christ can never be fully explored. In fact, I kind of think that even in heaven, we're going to keep learning more and more about God and his love and what it means to be the objects of his grace and what it means to be his new creations in Christ. But then Paul goes on, and this is where it really gets interesting, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden from ages in God who created all things. So what's the plan? Hidden for the ages. Here it is. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. There's a battle going on between the powers of darkness and God and his amazing light, and we're going to have the victory. And even now, we are the manifold riches of Christ. So in a way, gosh, Lord, help me to do this. You know, this is where I hope you're following me. There are really no rabbit trails in our life then. All the details of our lives are places where the manifold wisdom of God can be manifest. Where we fail the forgiveness of our sins. Where we are helpful and kind and loving and expressing the fruit of the Spirit to the glory of God. So that your whole life now is a chance for you to display the manifold wisdom of God. And there are no small things then in your life. There are no small things in my life. Everything in your life and my life makes a difference in God's economy. And I know we can't figure this out. This is hard stuff to figure out. But this is the truth. This is the truth in your life and my life. So think about it this way. Baby Dylan. She really needs dad and mom. I got permission to share this. She really needs mom and dad. So really, none of the things that mom and dad do are little for baby Dylan, right? Because she's totally dependent on them. But keep in mind, you know what baby Dylan's job is? It's not a small thing either. Her job is to teach her mom and dad to pray and repent and sacrifice and serve and suffer and all things. All those things are really good. So pray. Pray that baby Dylan can do her job, right? And pray that mom and dad can do their job. And pray that all of us here can live out our identity in Christ. Because there are no small people in God's kingdom. There are no small works in your life and my life. And all of them are cleansed by the blood of Christ. And all of those things can display the manifold wisdom of God across the spectrum of who and what we are. And, you know, we just have to receive that by faith, trusting that wherever we're at right now, whatever we're going through, the difficult things, how do we sing it in our song? They will lead us back to God, and it's from those things that we will grow forward in ways that glorify God and will be a blessing to us and those around us. And all of this is because even in the midst of all the distraction and confusion, Jesus stayed focused because it was all about him coming to your rescue and mine and giving us the love of God that we can embrace and have now and forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.